Welcome, Ron, to the IG for All podcast. Thanks for being here this week.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I actually had the pleasure of talking to numerous people here at Digi, as well as organizations who have worked with you, and a lot of really positive things. So I'm glad to have you on and excited for this conversation today.
We've been in business now for almost 40 years, so hopefully we've done a few things right along the way.
For our audience who might not be familiar with Digi, can you provide some background around what the company does, the role you all play in the market, as well as just an introduction to yourself?
Digi International was actually born in 1985, went public in 1989. So on a relative basis, we're a longstanding independent company. We initially started off in our journey back in 1989, which is well before when I arrived, as a provider of what was called the DigiBoard. The DigiBoard was a serial card that you would use to network personal computers and mini computers. Back in the mid to late 80s, personal computers were just coming on. The idea of networking them or remotely accessing them was a bit counterculture. Most of the established industry thought computers were just big calculators. And of course, Digi caught the cat by the tail and really parlayed the DigiBoard into becoming a public company. The company had its first challenge shortly thereafter, where Ethernet surpassed serial as a way to interconnect and network computers. And Digi fortunately had raised some money and was profitable, so was able to diversify. It entered an area where they were doing a lot of converting of serial to Ethernet and vice versa, and then got into embedded solutions, then got into fully enclosed devices like cellular routers and USB devices. My predecessor, Joe Dunsmore, had been here 15 years prior to me, really started evolving the company into more solutions orientation. That there was a bit of a hiccup in the strategy, however. The towards the end of his tenure, he wanted to partner with Salesforce to help usher in the age of what we called the social machine, the idea of the device that could talk to a CRM tool, open up its own trouble tickets and dispatch somebody. Unfortunately, a lot of the industrial world wasn't really as well knowledged and mature in their thinking of how industrial IT worked, let alone how it was going to connect to Salesforce. And then I came in really basically at the end of 2014. And my background briefly is in fleet management. I started a company in the mid 90s where we provided onboard computers to truckers and helped them connect to dispatch and kept track of their fuel economy and driver logs. And the reason why I bring that up was the fact that I'm addicted to hardware-enabled recurring revenue models. And I'm not in treatment and I'm not taking any medication. So I'm really embracing this addiction. Yes. And it really brought that addiction with me to Digi. Digi historically has provided, you know, decades worth of very reliable, long-lasting, secure, easy to deploy and manage hardware. And, you know, my big strategic initiative was to then leverage that long trust and history of providing reliable equipment into providing more of a solution and providing the wireless connectivity, the platform, the software, and the services to help you more quickly realize your IoT vision and have you, quite frankly, focus more of your energy on the higher value things. In particular, what does the data mean and what am I going to do with it?
That's fantastic. Yeah, I appreciate that kind of story and background. I think, you know, we've seen the industry transform a great deal over the last, you know, 2 or 3, 5 plus years. I've been in the industry for almost 7, 8 years now and seen it gone from like a very fragmented, platform focused type of industry to a little bit more horizontal, but industry focused solutions to now much more kind of point vertical solutions to solve real problems for people. I think we're getting to that point where IoT is becoming more well understood of not only the value it can provide for companies, but also what they can actually buy and what they can actually adopt. And I know you all have kind of gone through that transition from being seen as a hardware-focused company into a solutions-focused company. What was the big driver behind that realization? Obviously, I know from your background experience, you kind of brought that in, but what did you recognize that was so important for the company to grow from being thought of as a hardware-focused company to a solutions company?
There are kind of two ways I'll answer that. One is maybe more, you know, the negative side. One's the more positive side. So on the negative side, you know, Ryan, even if we were, you know, just wildly successful as a hardware provider to IoT solutions, we just wouldn't be worth very much. You know, hardware is not as valuable for investors. It doesn't attract the same kind of multiple and attention as more of a software and solutions company. Inversely, there was a real opportunity out there because I saw customer after customer basically putting together their IoT solution, which is very hard. You've got to have expertise in hardware, software, and the enclosure and how to install it, power, antennas, and making sure it's going to last long. If you think about it, if you install something to monitor a remote asset and that installation, it goes bad, you know, there goes your ROI, right? But I saw them then struggle with, how do I get the right data plans? How do I have the right carriers, the right SIM card or cards? And how do I manage it in case it goes into overages? And again, those overages can sometimes wipe out all of your ROI. And then how do I get that data stored safely, securely in the cloud or some other version of storage, and then make sure it's got APIs so that you can integrate that data into other data? And what I saw is so many people spending so much time on getting the solution to work. Again, they didn't spend the really valuable time on what are the insights that this data is generating. Time and time I'd be with customers and say, you know, will customers buy your product because you designed the IoT solution? Or is it because you're driving unique insight, whether it's asset uptime, whether it's software update, whether it's feeding that information back into the next generation, your product, to improve your competitiveness? So basically, it was really driven by the customer and the market. And there still are a variety of companies that want to do and own their own IoT solution. The first thing I say, where's your IoT department? And, you know, acutely, few companies, if any, have a dedicated IoT department. It's a fractional ownership between IT, operations, sometimes finance. But it's really the market need that drove us.
We've all witnessed how the fragmentation of the IoT industry has, at times, I mean, there's positives to the fact that there's so many different options and choices when it comes to connectivity, comes to hardware, et cetera. But as a buyer, as someone who's looking to adopt something, let's say I work in the agriculture space and I'm a farmer looking to buy a soil moisture monitoring solution, I don't have the time, likely the knowledge, to go piece that together and figure out how the heck it's going to work. So for them, they want to find something that provides benefit and that they can easily adopt, just like they would any other type of solution they bring into their business. Same with, let's go into the real estate market, or you can go into the healthcare space. Anytime they're looking at a solution, I think the fundamental way they buy something is based on, what is it going to allow me to do? What are the benefits? And less emphasis on the technology, because that'll kind of just work itself out. This is a successful solution for them. And the hope is that the company they purchase it from has thought about all those things, understands their domain and their environment a good bit to build something that's very relevant and useful for the buyer. But the buyer cares about something quite different than I think sometimes the providers think they care about.
You mentioned one thing in particular that I think is one of the most important factors is time. None of us have time. And the quicker you can get a market, the better you're going to learn and the faster you're going to be as compared to your competition. And I would argue that we are a time machine. We help you get there quicker. Now, if you're wonderfully successful and the 0.1% of business cases that actually hit there, I'm going to sell a million of whatever, you can look to cost optimize. And what I see sometimes, Ryan, is companies putting cost optimization first. And it's like, hold on. Why are you rushing to optimize cost? You don't even know if this is going to be successful yet. Get it into the market. If you're wonderfully successful, you'll have plenty of time and resources to cost optimize.
When I talk to companies, and I have been recently, given some of the initiatives we have going on outside of the podcast here, it seems like the definition of what a solution is oftentimes varies quite a bit. And I think that can muddy the water a little bit when people are talking just out loud about what IoT solutions are. When we think about it, we're talking about kind of everything sort of baked in to the solution, or at least thought about and planned out from the hardware all the way down to kind of the software and user interface. Is that the kind of the same vein of thinking that you all have when you're thinking of bringing a solution to market, as opposed to, you know, just a platform that can potentially do anything for a company? Like, how are you thinking about what a solution is when you're talking internally about building a solution for a target buyer potentially?
It's a really good question, because I mean, every IoT solution basically has, you know, some type of edge device, which has its own firmware, then there's some connectivity layer that's becoming more and more wireless, and oftentimes it's cellular, although it can be other transmission mediums like Wi-Fi and other. And then there's typically an area that you then store the data, oftentimes in the cloud, sometimes on-prem, and that data then stored. And then there's a way to visualize that data, right? And that data, it's oftentimes software reporting. And then there's taking that data and integrating it with other pieces of data that may kick off additional actions, alerts, et cetera. So rarely does one company provide the entire solution set. Things like SmartSense are probably the most turnkey, if you will. What I mean by turnkey solution is you really don't have to do anything to enjoy the benefits. You have to just respond to the alerts, run the reports, or receive the reports and take some action. But there are many times where, let me give you an example. We work with a company called Otis Elevator. In most jurisdictions, elevators are required to have some kind of emergency communication. In case that elevator gets stuck, you have a way to call for help. Traditionally, that's been phone lines, right? Well, the phone lines are literally going out of service. Most people don't know if that phone line even works. There was a big story where Hillary Clinton got stuck in a New York elevator and the phone line didn't work. We worked with Otis to replace that with a cellular router that provides both emergency voice service, but also allows you to access the computer inside that elevator to gain fault codes, update software, right? And what we do for Otis is we do the device, the connectivity, the storing of that data. We don't know anything about elevators, but that's where Otis takes over. And that demarcation then is the APIs in which they pull the data out of our system to then integrate with other systems, maybe a field service dispatch, maybe their engineering team for software updates or future software updates. That still is a solution, but it's certainly not a turnkey where, you know, we're actually doing the alerts to tell you an elevator's got a fault that needs to send a technician out.
If you were to talk to a company that is maybe, let's say, they're a hardware-only company, but they're kind of seeing the kind of the transition of other hardware companies they compete with going more towards trying to be a solution provider, what would you say are the biggest reasons why a company should focus on trying to, or I guess, be thinking about solutions first and potentially transition into being more of a solution provider, which for hardware companies, that starts to bring in, you know, a number of other pieces like the software side, the connectivity side. But it seems like it's important to either do it themselves or make sure they're starting to partner with companies, bring their hardware in so they are able to kind of sell more of a full solution.
Ryan, if you're a customer of mine and I sell you hardware, you're likely to buy hardware in the future, but I would call you a reoccurring customer. You may buy, but I'm not sure when or how many, but you're not a recurring customer. And the value I provide you is a bit transitional. You buy a piece of hardware, of course, I'm going to warranty it. I'm going to ask any questions that you have, answer any questions that you may have. But my relationship with you is much more transactional. If I'm not providing more value to you in the form of connectivity, in the form of software, storing data, analyzing data, our relationship now has evolve from being transactional to being recurring. There's something that you're logging in, you're consuming on data. I'm becoming more valuable to you because you're using me every day, week, months of the year. And I've got much, much better visibility into our financial relationship in addition to providing more value. And so that's my biggest advice for folks is, you know, first, always put the customer at the center of what you do. Are you adding more value to the customer? Are you doing it better than they could do it themselves? And that equation is changing quite a bit because, you know, gone are the days of set it and forget it. There's too many technical changes. There's too many regulatory changes. Of course, now we've got security issues that are ramped up in their frequency and their volume. And you may have evolving business opportunities and challenges. And if I have a relationship with you where I'm providing you a platform that allows us to monitor and manage your IoT solution, I'm in a much better position to address these challenges with and for you.
For hardware companies out there listening to this and looking to potentially transition into being more of a solutions company, what advice do you have for them? Obviously, we talked about why it's important going into that kind of recurring side of things you just mentioned, but just is there any advice you have on how best to do that? Because sometimes for hardware companies, they're very good at hardware. And hardware is not easy. It's very difficult. But if we're saying that the long-term real value there is to be more of a be involved with solutions, is it as simple as just focusing time and effort on integrating that hardware into with partners to offer a full solution? Or how do you, what advice would you guys, would you give to a company looking to transition from just being a hardware company into being able to go to market with solutions, whether it's alone or with partners?
The very first thing is to make sure you understand your customer base. Is it concentrated in certain verticals or certain types of applications? As I mentioned earlier, you've got to let the customer and the market drive your actions, not exclusively, but certainly most of what you do should be making your customers' lives easier and having them save money or generate revenue or provide better service. So if there's a concentration, there's then now a couple of ways you can go about it. One is you can provide more software and service, whether that's cloud matching with the device, whether it's connectivity and cloud matching the device. But you've got to do it in a way that the market will digest it, especially as compared to what competitive offerings or substitutes there are. But I would have that start with ask your customers what you can do to help them. Oftentimes, boy, if it's you can do something for me and I don't have to worry about it, I will pay a reasonable price for that.
I've seen a lot of situations where a company will work with a solution provider. They'll adopt a solution, deploy it, start to scale it. And then internally, they think, hey, we're going to bring this in-house. We're going to do this ourselves now. And it's not as easy as some might think. If I'm a buyer out there looking to adopt an IoT solution, how should I be thinking about things from that early stage of choosing the right solution to the growth and scale and of the deployment, which is where everybody starts to see the ROI and the return, while mixing in, is this something that I should even be thinking about managing myself?
What I see buyers making a couple of, in my humble opinion, some mistakes. One is when they look at doing that themselves, they tend to look at just the unit costs. They're not burdening any of the labor of getting that solution up and running, let alone managing and maintaining that solution. I can probably get something to work one time in one geo pretty easily. But if I've got to have it work hundreds or thousands of times across multiple geos, that's a much different scenario. And again, who's going to manage this long-term? So I think be really candid and authentic and honest with what it would take for you to manage it yourself and look beyond just the per unit cost, because I see a lot of companies do that. We joke that our best prospects are those that have been trying to do it themselves for some time and run to the challenge, because the need is there. So you don't have to prove to them that they need IoT. It's just the way they're doing it is suboptimal. But if I'm at that stage where I've convinced myself that, hey, I'm ready to get help from somebody else, I think there's really five things that I would consider. One is reliability. And survey after survey we do at the marketplace, reliability is the number one thing. Again, Captain Obvious, if I deploy an IoT system to manage a remote asset, that IoT solution needs to be reliable. And you'd like to have proof, not just somebody saying they're reliable. How long have your devices out there? What is your return rate? Can I talk to your customers to see if that matches their experience, right? But reliability, number one. Number two, which has risen up the rankings dramatically, is security. Is what have you done to design security into your solution day one? And how are you preventing me from getting my solution into an insecure state where I become vulnerable? And again, ask for proof points. Can I talk to customers? Have you had any vulnerabilities? Do you scan CVEs? Do you have any third-party accreditations, you know, to validate that you've got a high-quality system? The third is scalability. And scale can mean a couple different things. Scale can be in volume, and it can be across geographies or across environments, sometimes inside, outside. But that scalability. The fourth is ease of deployment and manage. How easy is this to deploy and manage? Because I don't want to have to hire a bunch of people to manage your system. And the last thing that I strongly recommend is that you check the company behind the solution. Is the company thriving, investing in its solution? Is it a zombie, or is it going to be around as long as this solution is proposed to be around? So those are some key criteria that I would recommend people consider. And even if we talk surveys, price is typically pretty low. It's certainly a factor, don't get me wrong, but price is typically lower than all those other metrics.
Those 5 points very much align with a lot of the questions and areas of concern that companies bring up in the discussion of, you know, how long is the company going to be able to support my solution long term? What's the security like? What vulnerabilities am I potentially at risk of? Things along those lines. I think it's important to understand that And back to our point earlier about time, an organization that has its own business goals and is growing customer base, is trying to, you know, just continue to move to the next stage of development for the organization as a whole, trying to adopt any type of technology solution needs to be as seamless as possible for them. Otherwise, it becomes a nuisance and something that starts to fall down the priority list, has harder time getting stakeholder buy-in internally, meaning has tougher time having budget available for it, which is required for this to get past the pilot stage. And I think is a reason at times why so many IoT solutions do not make it past the pilot stage. So working with a company that understands your industry, has built a solution that is tailored for that environment, has that knowledge, really can kind of be a partner to you in the successful adoption of an IoT solution. I think that's very important to increase the likelihood of any type of success when it comes to adopting a solution into any vertical or industry.
The more you move towards a turnkey solution, the more you want to make sure you have really good domain of that particular vertical or application. If you're more of a horizontal provider, you know, I provide a device, connectivity, website, maybe I'm not as vertically specific. Some of those metrics we talked about earlier, and again, I just can't stress, ask for proof points, ask for data that could stand up in front of a jury of independent analysts. So they would say, yep, I agree. This is reliable. This is secure. This is long lasting. It can scale.
Ron, the last thing I want to ask you before I let you go here is, if we're looking out into the future, we've talked about the evolution of the IoT industry from a very platform-centric industry to now more vertical, specific, more turnkey type solutions. And that has affected all the different players in the industry, from how network companies are fitting in, how hardware companies are fitting in, you name it. How do you see this continuing to evolve throughout the rest of this year into the next few years? I'm just curious to see how, you know, component companies are going to fit into this. Are solutions going to continue to just become more turnkey, and which then hopefully leads to more adoption? What do you see as being the big factors and contributors and potential changes that we see over the coming months to years?
I was in fleet management for 15 years, and in that time frame, I saw what was really hard to do initially become easier. But I think what you're going to see is IoT solutions will be continue to become more and more cost effective and of higher quality. And it'll make monitoring of less expensive things more viable. That's one trend I see is I think IoT solutions have become more affordable and making more things connected. The second thing that I think we're going to see is I think we're going to see the evolution of AI from these large language models into small language models. I don't need the full breadth of ChatGPT to tell me how a refrigerator is performing and how likely it is to fail. I just need to train it on refrigerator data, right? Now it could be much more effective than a human, but I think you're going to see AI deployed at the edge in small language models, very, very specific to a specific domain, and it's going to tell us in a real easy to understand way, if something needs service or improvement. It won't rely on tons of analysis and integration and all sorts of effort that we rely on today. But the last thing is, I think we're going to, as a society, get better and better at implementing IoT. I still see a lot of challenges with change management. I'll give you just one example, Ryan. If we're deploying our SmartSense condition monitoring and workflow management solution into a grocery store, one of the biggest ROI items is saving labor. I spend 8 to 10 hours a week checking temperatures. I don't need to do that anymore. It all sounds great when you're in that sales mode, even when you're in that pilot mode. When it comes to rollout, Ryan, you're the store manager at store 123. And I'm like, Ryan, all right, we're rolling it out. I need those 8 hours. And you're like, well, on second thought, you know, I use that time to check inventory and I use it. You start getting that, you know, that concern over taking those hours away and really trusting that the system will work for you. That's where I think we're going to get better too, is that users are going to get more comfortable and transition into trusting these systems and doing higher value work.
We've said for a while that we think solutions are the solution to a lot of the problems that, or I guess things that have hindered growth in the IoT space. But I think we're with each successful deployment within a vertical, you really start to open the door up to more wider spread adoption because people are seeing that this is something that's achievable. Whereas before, lots of questions, lots of potential hiccups along the way. And I think we'll start to see that as people are educated on the fact that solutions exist. Everything is not necessarily custom. And companies are starting to realize that as a buyer of almost anything we do, we buy based on benefits. We buy on things that help save us time. And finding the right company that understands that and has built something specifically aimed at the problem that you and your organization face, the more likely you are to be successful in that adoption of a solution to kind of grow. And I think to your point about AI, you know, I've started to even notice AIoT as an acronym become much more popular over the last few months. It's kind of, obviously we've heard it for a while, but it's really starting to pick up with how AI and IoT are going to come together. And your small language models is really interesting. I've actually never had anybody mention it that way, but the power that we have with collecting data from the physical world with IoT, combining that with the power of where AI is now, is going to unlock so much for organizations on how they view and how they analyze and what they kind of get out of their data that they weren't able to get out before. Ron, for our audience who wants to learn more about what y'all have going on or follow up on this conversation anyway, what's the best way they can do that?
Of course, our website is full of information, www.digi.com. You have a variety of ways to research our offerings. Of course, I love talking to people. I joke I offer much higher levels of service electronically than I do via the phone. So ron.konezny@digi.com. I'm happy to hear from anybody.
Well, Ron, thank you so much for being here. It's great to have you. Good conversation, very timely. I'm going to hopefully have a lot more conversations like this because we're a big, we put a lot of emphasis here on solutions really being something that is going to help propel this industry forward. So love what y'all have going on, and thanks for your time.
Good to spend time with you.